This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. Thank you for joining us this Sunday, and please tune in again for an uplifting gospel message every week at this same time.
Have mainline churches changed the content of the sermons in the last generation? We'll talk about that in the sermon this Sunday. We'll open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that is powerful. We thank you for what the message flowing from those pulpits have meant to the United States of America in the years that have gone by. We pray, O God, that whatever comes forth from the pulpit in our day may be true to the word of God, that it may enter into the heads and the hearts of our people, and we may know what it is to trust God as our commander and leader. So hear us as we make these petitions known to you, and open your word that we may fully understand what your will is for our country. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends in Christ. More than 600 years before Christ, the word of the Lord came to a young man by the name of Jeremiah. And this is what God said to the prophet. It is our text for this Sunday, recorded in the first chapter of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. This is our text for today, and it comes to us through the lectionary series. In the notes of my Bible, I read this. The first 25 years of Jeremiah's ministry, he worked under a good king whose name was Josiah. He tried to bring his people back to God. After this, Jeremiah was put in danger from political and religious leaders who were angry because of his message. The people would not listen, and Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. From this passage of God's word, the voice was heard, and the masses of people remained silent as far as obeying it. But there was a remnant, and they did obey. Jeremiah was called by God. He responded when he was asked to go and proclaim the message that God wanted the people to know. And he said, Sovereign God, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. And then God said, Don't be afraid. I am with you. And then he anointed Jeremiah. And we have this in verse 9, that the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. In other words, he was to have a message with a note of authority with it. The Bible speaks about teaching with authority. When John the Baptist came preaching by the River Jordan, they said he spoke as one who had authority. And the people flocked out there to listen to him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. They wanted to hear that this was a word of God. They were sick and tired of listening to the philosophies of different men. Rabbis, well-trained people, whoever they might have been, they needed a word from on high. Then came the Lord Jesus Christ, and there in Nazareth, when he preached, it says they were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. When Peter and John stood in Jerusalem and preached, they were astounded of their courage and that they had authority in what they were saying. And so it goes on through the ages. Men have come forth with great messages that have turned, in many cases, the hearts of people around. It is so powerful. The Word of God itself is so powerful, the Bible, that it can change and has changed the lives of many, many people. Because of the power of that message, and that message is proclaimed from the pulpit, we talk about the power of the pulpit. Now, I can hear some people giggling and saying, does he really believe that that pulpit has any power? The man who stands in that pulpit preaching the Word of God has a message that is filled with power. And that's why we talk about the power of the pulpit. After the messages which were from on high came to Jeremiah and he proclaimed them, he wanted the people to know that they needed to fear God, that God loved them, but he demanded their obedience. And when Jeremiah said, oh God, I can't go and do that. I stand before powerful people, highly educated people, those who have had much more experience than I have had. No, God, I can't do it. I can't accept your call. And God turned around and said to him, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you. So Jeremiah went and preached. And for 25 years, it was a pretty good ministry. But then when Josiah died and others took over, he was hunted to be killed also. Did the people respond? No. In the majority of cases, they didn't. And the results were that Jerusalem fell in 586 BC, and that was the end of that group of people for a long, long time. There were some who responded, and they were called the remnant in Judah. And so it goes on today. When I read this text, which is always assigned to us from the Old Testament today, I thought, is there a message here that we should talk about on Christian Crusaders? Does the Bible speak to us today in the same way it did in the day of Jeremiah? Well, here's what the Bible is saying to us. It is much more specific than it was way back there many hundreds of years ago. It tells us that we are sinners. We are created in the image of God. And that means that we've got a will that can say no to God if we so want to. But here is the great truth. Jesus Christ has come into this world. He has suffered and died at the cross of Calvary. Thereby, he has paid the price for our sins. But it doesn't stop here, that whoever will receive him as Savior and Lord, and that is in being empowered by the Holy Spirit, whoever will receive him has a complete forgiveness of all of his sins, and the promise of God will be with him both now and for all eternity. That message has not changed, people. Nor will it change. When that message is proclaimed, the church is being built. Lives are being changed. And the people of God continue to be numerous and very, very vital where they find their daily walk. So he calls people to be pastors. And they enter into the pulpits of the church. And they teach the word of God. And what is necessary is that they must teach with authority. They need not be highly trained. They need not be necessarily orators. Their message is from God. They are not in there to entertain. They are not entertained to the extent that people say, wasn't he funny? Wasn't that a joyful kind of a service? This is the kind that will attract our children and keep our youth. No, there's nothing in the scripture that talks about that. It talks about speaking with authority. In that pulpit, Sunday after Sunday, if the word of God is preached, great results will take place. In that pulpit, you preach the law. What does that say to a generation such as ours? That there are rights and there are wrongs, regardless of what anybody says. They are right, they are wrong. That's a very, very important thing for us to know in our day, when everything has become so terribly, terribly relevant. What is right for you is not right for me. What is not right for me is perhaps right for you. That's what we hear again and again. That was right a generation or two ago. But that is not necessarily true today. For the preaching must be lined up some way with the culture of which we are a part, or it will not be accepted. Well, God did not tell Jeremiah to preach a message that was being accepted. When he prepared his sermons and he went into his pulpit, He did not say, now, will they really like that? Will it do to them just exactly what they want to have do to them? No. Tell them what the Word of God has to say, Jeremiah. But you not only have to tell them the law, you will have that joyous time of telling them the gospel, and they will never hear it any other place. That's what God is saying to us today. No other place but in the pulpit of the church, wherever that pulpit may be, will they hear that they have a Savior, the Savior who has come to be theirs, the Savior who wants to walk with them, to love them, to warm their hearts, to change their personalities. This is our Savior whose birth we have so recently celebrated. And when we listen to that, with hearts that are opened by the Holy Spirit, great changes will take place. And there is the power of the pulpit. Will all people come to faith? Of course not. Millions of people, every Sunday, I'm sure, hear the message from the Word of God, and they say, it's good for my wife, it's good for my husband, it's good for my father and my mother, but it's not good for me. Man has a right, after he has heard that word, to reject it if he so desires. But by the grace of God, those who have accepted it become a part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is the church, where in that church you find a pulpit and guard the pulpit. Recently, I preached in a Reformed church. Right under the pulpit, there was a shorter pew than the rest of the pews in the church. I think it could have been the same size, so it got my curiosity, and I said to one of the men one day, why that little pew? And he smiled and he said, well, our tradition was that the elders of the congregation should sit there under the pulpit and listen carefully to what the pastor was saying. If in their opinion he was saying something that was contrary to the Word of God, he was to be talked to by the rest of the Board of Elders. They were guarding the pulpit. Now, I'm not saying that we should go to such extremes in our day, but listen to what is being said from the pulpit. For if that pulpit is contrary to the Word of God, what is that doing to the congregation? That pulpit is pretty powerful. It can change the thinking. Well, this is what we used to say, but this is what we say today, because we follow the culture of our day. Guard the pulpit. That is an important bit of counsel for congregations today. Now, I've talked about the pulpit as being a piece of furniture that is put into a nice sanctuary, and where on Sundays or other times during the week, generally a person theologically trained enters into that pulpit and begins to proclaim a message from the Word of God. And this is where many people have been won for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think of the pulpit of Billy Graham and what he has done through the years to bring the message of salvation to the world. But just think of that man or that woman who stands behind a pulpit in a little church, probably preaching to 25, 30, 40 people. But what she or he says is true to the Word of God. That's powerful. However, the word pulpit can be also used in another way. It can be used as a way where you find a person who is out there telling the story of Jesus Christ whenever he has that opportunity. In other words, we are real often told something like this: I don't want to listen to your sermon. Get out of your pulpit. I'll talk to you on a one-to-one basis, but I don't want you preaching at me. I had that experience one day with a man who had fallen into a wretched way of life, and he asked me to have lunch with him, and I told him, after he had described what his life was, that it was too bad, but it was contrary to the will of God. And he became very angry, and he said in the restaurant, "Get out of your pulpit. I don't want you to preach to me." We carry our own little pulpits. There is a pulpit in your house. And if a father or mother say to children, "Look, God loves you, and we love you too, and we want you to follow in His way. On the Lord's Day, we want you in His house. We want you to live as the Lord Jesus wants you to live." That's a pulpit. The pulpit is found in the Congress and the legislatures of our land. Now stop and think of it, people. If we have representatives in the Congress and in our legislatures who know the Lord Jesus personally, who have a good understanding of what His will is, who knows the gospel, and seeks to say to His people, not just reprimanding them, but saying to His fellow people in the legislative bodies, "Look, what is the will of God for this? What is the will of God for Afghanistan? What is the will of God for the tax increase in your state? What is the will of God?" And then begin to ponder this. There is a pulpit in the Supreme Court when you come to deal with issues that are very moral, abortion, and many others. What is God saying? Nobody else. What is God saying about life? See, there is a pulpit in those hallowed halls. There is a pulpit on Wall Street. And there is a pulpit on Main Street where people do business together. What does God want as far as honesty is concerned? What is my word worth? It was a pulpit here and a pulpit there, scattered all over these United States, that gave us this blessed country. Never has it been perfect, but certainly in the past there have been times when it has been much more conscious of what is found in the Word of God than is the case today. The society listens when you teach with authority, convinced by the Word of God that the message is true. Guard your pulpits and grant that from it there may come many blessings for many people. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray that from those pulpits, scattered in every hamlet to every metropolitan area, those who sit in the pews may hear the word of God. And grant, O God, that as we carry the message into other parts of the world, it may be the pulpit of a man or a woman saying, "This is what Jesus says." In his name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's sermon will provide inspiration and joy as you face the coming week. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. These gifts can be given in any amount to commemorate the life of someone special while furthering the mission of Christian Crusaders to proclaim the gospel. Honorarium gifts are also a thoughtful way to celebrate someone still in your life. Please send your memorial and honorarium gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We invite you to tell a friend, relative, or neighbor about Christian Crusaders. Those who live outside our broadcast areas can listen anytime on christiancrusaders.org. You can even call our office to request that sermon copies be sent to a particular individual. By reaching out to others with the word, we help to share the light of the Lord with those who walk in darkness. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 48 years. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.